Greetings, Afro Posse.
Oh, Jesus.
Buckle up for the sex. It's the Apropos of Nothing podcast.
With your hosts.
Salsa.
James.
And that's it.
Yep.
You're stuck with us. Thankfully, we have booze.
We do have booze.
And these dulcet NPR voices. Yep. What are we drinking, James?
We are drinking Tip Top Bee's Knees. Always balanced, never too sweet. Tip Top makes these little teeny tiny can.
They cocktails. Are really teeny tiny. What are those, 3 ounces?
They are 100 milliliters.
So very tiny.
100 milliliters, 26% alcohol. Yep. But yeah, this is one that I've had before. I tried this one. I also tried a
3.3 ounces,
an espresso. Good call in. An espresso martini that they make. I was not as impressed with the espresso martini as I am with this. So you might like it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Okay. We're about to find out.
Did you shake well?
Serve over ice. It says shake well and serve over ice. I have done both.
Excellent. Yeah, no, the whole can fits inside of a cocktail glass.
Yes.
They're very tiny, so let's find out.
Some lawn chairs.
That is very honey forward.
Yes.
Like, way more than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, it's slightly lemony, very honey-y, and there's a little bit of a gin bite, but not too much. It's mostly warmth.
I think the honey is too forward.
Yeah.
It's not balanced very well, in my opinion.
Which
is a bizarre thing to say, because I love honey, but...
Oh, same. Do we think we want to try making these?
I don't know how I feel about them.
About bee's knees?
Yeah.
Well, I just feel like if we made them, then the balance would be different.
Sure. No, I see what you're saying. I'm saying this specifically, the cocktail in a can.
They're pretty reasonably priced.
Sure. I don't know if I would drink it again.
That's very fair. Also, I think... I had picked one of these up as a voice recovery.
Mm-hmm.
What I also really want is ginger in there. So I think that if I...
Pour a little ginger ale in there?
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping. I've got some ginger beer. I just picked it up because I wanted ginger beer.
Give it a go.
But, I might give this a shot. And if it's tasty, you should grab one. All right. Alley-oop. Honestly, that changes the entire beverage. Well,
for the better, or
for the better, I think.
Oh, well,
yeah. Go ahead. I can grab one.
Yeah, I'll go.
Yeah, yeah. But no, I like that they are teeny tiny cans because that's fascinating.
Your oeuvre.
Yeah. But I also I really like the subtlety of the lemon in it.
Subtlety.
Mm-hmm.
That lemon was punching my tongue.
Oh, wild. The layers that I got were honey and lemon and then just a little bit of the gin warmth.
Oh, yeah. No, that's a game changer right there.
Yeah. I feel like that's a much better beverage.
I'd say, yeah, do equal parts of the bee's knees and the ginger beer. That's all about that.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Anyway, we should mention the elephant not in the room.
I've told a lot of fat jokes about Jenna.
Uh-huh.
Never called her an elephant.
Well, that's because it's a little too on the nose.
that's quite a nose.
Sorry.
On the trunk.
Thank you. Anyway, no, Jenna's not here. Jenna messaged us just hours ago saying she was not feeling well, so hope she recovers from whatever that may be, whether it's just a simple cold or she's got, you know, bronchitis. We don't know.
Crud. Yeah.
We don't know.
Well, and especially these last two weekends have been very fair weather, really beautifully clear and cool, but a little windy and very dusty.
Windy, dusty, and a bit wet overnights.
Yeah.
If you're sleeping in a tent, the evenings got cold and wet. You know, it could be any number of things. We hope she feels better soon.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
But, that means the two of us get to rumble at you. Because, man, we had weekends. It was very dusty, like James said. I had a bit of a equipment malfunction on Saturday, and by that I mean my microphone, my lavalier cable got tangled up in my equipment at one point, and I yanked on it at one point accidentally and, like, broke the clip holding the microphone to my lapel and, like, fucked up the cable now, and so now, like, the microphone,
it's sketchy.
It doesn't work at all. No, it doesn't work at all. It's fucking dead. So I need to go get a new lav cable.
Yeah.
But that also meant, like, for my third show on Saturday, I had no microphone, so I was doing it, you know, by projecting, and I can project. I know how to project.
Yeah.
I've done projecting for years. That's not a problem. But the addition of projecting and shoving shit down my throat is a lot. It really is a lot on my throat.
Yeah.
And thankfully, Fondazi had an old belt pack.
Yeah,
that they don't use anymore, because the only way to turn it on and off is to take the batteries out.
Oh, fuck.
Like, the power button doesn't work anymore.
Huh.
So you put the batteries in and it turns on. And the mute button works, thankfully, so you can, like, mute yourself.
Sure, but it's burning battery until you take the batteries out.
Yeah, exactly. Basically. So you get off stage and you have to physically remove the batteries to turn it off. And so it was just like, well, that's fun. So it was just before my show, I'd put the batteries in and hit the mute button and then get on stage, unmute, do my show, hit mute, you know, once my tips were done, get off stage and pop the batteries out.
Sure.
So that's what I had to do for the last show on Saturday and all of Sunday, just to get through the weekend.
Yeah.
Cause you know, in order to be here, heard way at the back of my audience, I could project.
Ooh, la, la.
Yeah, and what?
Name dropper. My audiences are so huge that I can't be heard at the back.
I mean, yes.
Yeah. Sword swallowing sermon at the mount. Blessed are the cheesemakers.
Okay, I don't, whatever. Anyway, yeah, no, so, but it did. I definitely felt it, like, at the end of Saturday. I was like, my voice is much more tired than it normally would be, and my throat was less happy. I've gotten through most of this season so far. We're well past halfway at this point. We've only got 2 weekends left, and I've gotten this far without having major fatigue on my throat, and this weekend was like I started to definitely feel that fatigue setting in, where I was not able to control control everything as much as possible. I do, for those who have seen my show, you know that at the end when I swallow the sword, I let gravity drop the sword in the last 4 inches or so, and when I can tell that my throat is tired when it doesn't drop by itself. Because I can't loosen it up enough for it to let go. It was like by the end of Saturday and Sunday, I was starting to have trouble with that part. So it was like, I'm starting to feel that fatigue. Yeah. But hopefully we'll get through this week. And again, now that I have that battery or that mic pack as a backup, and I'll go and get a new lav mic cable at some point this week. I'll be able to get through the rest of the season. But yeah, that was exciting. But that was not
for the varying definitions of excitement.
But that was not the most exciting thing that happened to me.
Oh, what was the most exciting thing?
Well, this is something that actually happened to me last week, but I didn't say anything because we weren't in person. okay. I have merch.
Ooh.
Yes. I went and I bought this little gift for people.
Oh.
Yes, for people that put $10 into my hat, mm-hmm. they get their very own sword. Shaped bottle opener.
Yeah. Oh, good.
Yeah, no. So, yeah, they're right here. Here you go. That's yours.
Oh, shit. It's so good.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. And printed with different things on each side,
too. Yeah, on one side, it's got Casimir the Hungarian. On the other side, it says SideshowCaz.com. But yeah, no, that's my new merch for a $10 donation to my tip jar. You get
that's
a
little... So good.
It's a keychain bottle opener that is shaped like a scimitar.
Yeah.
I would have held back on giving them to you, like I did last week, but Jenna has seen them. And just because, like, I had... that we were in the Dragon's Den on... Friday night.
Oh, gotcha.
Or maybe it was Saturday night. I think it was Saturday night, actually. And my brother-in-law got one off of me and was showing. Jenna saw it and was like, "Oh my god, I have to go buy one of them from you." And so I was kind of in the back of my head going, "Please, please don't, don't do it, don't do it, Ixnay on the." So I was going to give them to you tonight, but
yeah.
Jenna was not here, and so I was like, well, maybe I'll just hold off for another week. But then I was like, yeah, but what if next weekend she comes in to my show to get one? And then so I've got to do this. I'll give hers to her, and it'll be a surprise, hopefully. But
are all of them this lovely orange color?
No, that's the gold. Ooh. That's the gold. Most of them are black.
Ah.
I ordered 100 black.
Yeah.
And they must have run out of black because there was like 15 gold ones in the box.
Well, I feel very special then.
Yeah, so I was like, I'll keep the gold ones for myself and other, you know, people that I like.
But I got one?
Most people, yeah. I mean, I had an extra. but most people, when they come to the show, they get the black one. And when I run out of this run, I'll probably do... They've got a bunch of different colors. They've got like a blue and a green and a red. Stuff like that. So I might do a different color, and then maybe do like a different color every year or something like that. Just kind of mix it up.
Whoa, yeah.
Yeah, have some fun with it.
That is very fun. I like that.
But yeah, it's an aluminum, you know, bottle opener. It's good quality, and it's got my name on it, and it's only $10.
I like it.
Yeah, so I'm very pleased with the reception that they have gotten. I'm already most of my way through the first 100. So looking to get another one batch probably very shortly. If I can get through the rest of this season, great. Otherwise I'm gonna need some for next, you know, March anyway.
Sure,
Or May or whenever my season starts next year. So
yeah,
no, I'm very, very pleased with how they turned out. It was kind of one of those like whims that I was just like, I need to do. I wanted something, but I was like, okay, like everybody's got t-shirts and like
bumper stickers,
and there's like, I wanted something small that I didn't have to carry around like a tub of stuff.
Yeah,
and like, you know, I was like, buttons maybe, but like Fondazzi, whose stage I share, does buttons and have been doing buttons for years. Like they do a new button every year. That's their thing. So like, I didn't want to do what they're doing.
Is this year the 20 years of fire?
Yeah, 20 years of fire.
Seeing those everywhere.
Yep.
Yeah.
But it's a new design every year for them. And I was like, I didn't want to do the what they're doing.
Right.
So I was like, I need something small and like unique.
Yeah.
And so I literally Googled like unusual merch or something like that. A keychain bottle opener popped up and I was like, I wonder if there's a sword. So I Googled sword keychain bottle opener and these popped up. And I was like, hell yes, this is what I'm doing.
That's really good.
So yeah, I'm very, very happy with that. And then so it was 2 weeks ago. They were supposed to come like the expected delivery date, you know, I was on it was a Sunday night. I had just gotten home and I was like looking at stuff online and it was supposed to have an expected delivery date of the following Monday.
Oh,
I was like, cool, I'll order them now, you know, and 2 weeks from now I'll have these for, you know, the whole weekend. And then I'm backstage on Saturday. And I get an email on my phone, and it says, your package has been delivered. And so, last week, Saturday night, after dinner, I drove home and picked up the package and drove back to site. Because I was like, fuck yeah. So, they debuted last week, Sunday.
That's amazing.
And yeah, no, they've really had a good reception. A lot of people, everybody I've shown them to has been really excited and is happy with.
I'm proud to have one.
So, yeah. So if you would like a sword shaped bottle opener, it's a good line.
It's
a great line. Yeah. No, that's I love the audiences because I'll do that line, and especially if there's kids in the audience, because I'll do, "Ever you get a sword?" And the kids will like do that, like, and like they look at their mom or dad, and be like, "Can we?" And then I do the shaped bottle opener, and then they're just like, "Wait, what?
Yeah,
what just happened?" So, yeah, no, it's very fun, and I'm happy. So
yeah,
you get your very own bottle opener if you come to the Casimir the Hungry Show at the Minnesota Renaissance Festival and tip me $10 or more.
Excellent.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's wonderful.
Indeed, very, very happy with that. Here's Jenna's. She gets one too, I guess. Yeah, no, when she realized they were a scimitar, she was just like, I fucking need one.
That's exactly what I was thinking. Yeah.
Other than that, yeah, no, that was kind of my weekend. It was, the weather was fantastic.
Oh my God, it was beautiful.
The weather was so good. Yeah, it,
The direct sun on Sunday was still a little much for me, but I could carry the parasol that I have.
Yeah, and sure. Feel all right. Ambient temperature was fantastic.
Yeah. Crowds on Sunday were comfortably busy.
Yeah.
The crowds on Saturday were fucking bonkers.
Yeah.
And I think the big thing for me was not even that things felt as crowded as they have ever felt, because there have been more crowded days.
Mm-hmm.
Days when you look down the street and you're like, well, I'm not getting to the end of that.
Yeah, no, I'm trying to get from point A. I went with my son because my son needed a new belt pouch he's got a small one and he wanted a new one.
Sure.
And just like going the, you know, 300 feet or whatever it is to Boar's Head to look at pouches for him took forever because the crowds were just thick.
Well, and what Kyle and I found is that we got way more exhausted doing a smaller amount of work on Saturday than we did on Sunday.
Mm.
Saturday we broke, I think, 28,000 people there as a festival, and Kyle and I felt that, and everyone was in lines.
Yeah. Oh my God, the lines. Yeah.
The lines were absolutely out of this world. Very literally, I think that the line for Mermaid Cove went outside the bounds of orbit because of how many people had to get stacked up.
Some of the food booths at the bottom of the hill in Cartwheel Cove, the lines were almost to like the Sock and Buskin stage.
Yeah.
They were fucking ridiculous.
Yes. Yeah. Props to anybody who stood in one of those lines.
You didn't really have an option. If you wanted food, all of the lines were that long. It's not like you could just go somewhere else. It was that or not eat.
And so Kyle and I were doing line work as much as possible.
Yeah.
But, oh, man, is that way more exhausting.
Yeah.
But absolutely everyone was in lines, and it was still crowded. So we had a good Saturday. We put on what I feel is probably one of our most energetic, fun shows that we've done so far for the last call. It was fantastic. We had an absolute blast.
Mm-hmm. I wandered by for a little bit of that at one point.
Yeah, and I
just before Zilch, when the crowd turned on you at one point.
As they will sometimes.
Yes, no, absolutely. I was listening, and at one point, I don't even remember what it was. Kyle said something. It was, you were in your shellfish puns.
Oh,
and at
God.
One point, the crowd turned on you and just like, no, we're done. It was like, okay, let's get the next person up.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the thing is, we don't do any of our previous shtick, really.
Mm-hmm. And I want to make it clear, by the way, by turned on, I mean that not like they were angry at them. They were just like, nope, that we didn't like that one.
Yep,
that
next
these puns have gotten very,
Yeah, and we don't even do like a pun thing for the last, I think, two or three, maybe even.
Pours.
Shows.
Oh, really? Oh.
We haven't done our usual pun combat.
I see.
Think we did that first weekend. We needed to fill time. We
had
a lot of dead air, and we did our best with that. But having music there, having in addition to the acts and that kind of stuff, we've kind of got our stuff together. But you know, we ad-libbed puns and that kind of thing. And the first, I want to say, one or two were pretty well received, and then. Like the next two or three were like, oh.
Yeah, they were real groaners. Ooh, yeah.
Yeah, but, and we're used to that, and that's kind of
definitely.
But
when you're a punster, that is to be expected.
Oh, definitely. So,
but while I was getting my mug filled, Kyle came and said hi, and we had a very short little, like, you know, how's it going? And he'll have the same mind, too. He was like, it's really coming together.
Yeah.
I'm glad to hear it.
So we had an absolute blast doing that, but I was 100% spent before we started that show. Mm-hmm. And I don't just mean for the day. I mean for the weekend. Yeah. I started Sunday in the negative. And then I ended up, just through circumstances, because people weren't feeling well, and, you know, the way that things work out at the fencing booth, sometimes you go, well, we need a ringmaster, and am one.
Yep.
And I ended up ringing for, I want to say, probably half or more of the morning, from 9 until 2.
You really got your steps in, didn't you?
I got my steps in, and my voice was gone before I started.
Yep.
My voice was gone before we did the show.
Yep.
On Saturday, too. And then, you know, singing very, very gravelly, singing to the dregs in the dark. And, you know, cheering and laughing and all of that stuff. And then Saturday, doing 2 hours or more of ringing. And Cole, after Cole, commented after I hopped out of the ring, he was like, at very close to 2 p.m., he said, wow, you were in there for a while, huh? And I said, yeah. And he said, and you kept up big show, the entire time. That mm-hmm. was
yeah.
That was great, and that means something. Like that's
and for now me. You should fall over.
Well, and our darling Abby, Sweetie Pie, had said, you know, you really do need to hold something back because now you've got to go and do stuff. It's not like you get to fall over in the afternoons.
Yeah.
You've got two full shifts, basically. So try to...
You've got a contract to do other shit now.
Try to take care of yourself. And I said, I always go into the ring with every intention of... and Cole had said, like, yeah, you get in there, and then every thought in your head is gone.
Yep.
And
it's
just,
all about the show.
Ringing comes out.
Yep.
And that's it. And that was what happened. I had such a good fucking time that day, especially on Sunday. Despite being fully exhausted, I really threw myself into it even more. And then I got done with that. I brought Jax up to Booth so that they could get to Cottage and put in an afternoon. And then, because they had done the entire day Saturday, which is not something that's easy for them to do anymore. And then after that, Kyle and I went and did a couple hours. And then we got into puppets for an hour and a half.
Oh, God damn it, James.
Yep. So, yeah, right around 5 p.m., we were like, well, yeah, we've put in a lot of good hard work, and we're real wrung out. Let's get into puppets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that's relaxing.
Well, and I had said it, I may even have said it on this podcast, but there was a moment in the green room, I think, Labor Day Monday, when I was like, I'm fucking done. I'm out of energy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm overheated. I'm... You know, the weather is nicer today, and I've had such a good day, and all I want to do is lay down.
Yeah.
And I said, I know, though, that if I put on that hat and that sign, that's going to go away.
Absolutely. Yeah.
It's going to
stage health will take over.
Yep.
Yep.
I
know that one.
Yeah, and I talked to young Eric about it, and he said, yep, that's Pietro isn't tired, Pietro isn't mm-hmm. overheating, Pietro isn't having a tough day. That's an Eric problem.
Yep.
that's a problem for future Eric.
That is a problem, unfortunately, that
yeah
most of us have. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, there's more than once that I have gotten off stage and collapsed in, you know, pain yeah. or something like that. Cause you know, I had said earlier at one point that I messed up my hamstring.
Right.
Remember a few months back, my hip has never quite been right ever since then. Like I'm doing stretches and stuff like yeah. that to try to get it better, but I don't know if it's just because I was walking funny because my hamstring hurt or what, but my hip like
yeah.
is not quite.
Well, especially if you were favoring that leg.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And if like if I sit too long, then like that butt cheek really hurts. Mm-hmm. Like I feel like there's a pressure point or something that
yeah.
something's not. It's never been quite the same.
I understand this intimately.
Sure. And there was one day where I have to get down on the bed that's a bit of an acrobatic feat.
You sure.
Because I've got to...
At the best of times.
Kind of crab walk over it.
And then lower yourself down.
To lower myself.
Evenly.
Exactly. So that, you know, I'm not...
Right.
So I've got a lot of points of contact at the same time. And, like, I've got to, like, crouch down and then, like, fall backwards onto my hands and like,
yeah.
prop myself and then get myself over it. And like, there was one show where my hip and, like, my glute was just not having it.
Yeah.
And I was screaming in agony and I did the thing, and I got back up, and I finished the show, and I did my tips and everything like that, and everything was great, and I cleared the stage, and as soon as the stage was cleared and I was done, I was on the ground in pain. Well, like, there's that moment where you're just like, and I'm done.
Right. Well, and especially throwing myself so hard at the previous weekend, putting in essentially after a 3-day weekend, getting 4 days of recovery, and then putting in a 2-day weekend, where I put in as many steps as I would usually do for a 3-day weekend. The entire week, my legs were doing that thing where
it just hurts spasming a little bit.
It just, like, there's no comfortable
way.
There's no way to make them comfortable. There's no
just a
way
solid
to ease
ache.
It.
Yep.
It just, it's going to hurt. The only thing that you can do is, you know, try to play video games or read something or what,
just
something
take your mind off of it.
May take your mind off of it. I went into the weekend feeling like that this weekend. And then I put in, again, 3 days worth of steps, roughly.
Because we don't know when to fucking stop,
because we don't. We're dumb.
And we're not getting younger.
No. But
that's the thing, is we keep thinking that we're going to be able to do this because we did it in our 20s, but no.
And for me, I realize that I'm not getting younger and that it is going to get harder. For me, that's weirdly motivation to get as much out of my legs as I can right now.
Sure, I see.
And that's a really, I think, sort of self-defeating way to go after honestly... my body is not an investment that will grow with age. It is not.
I know plenty of people.
It's not going to age like wine.
I know plenty of people that are like fitness people who are able to do this thing because the rest of the season, the rest of the year, they're like going to the gym and doing like marathons and bicycling and stuff like that. So this sort of activity is what they're used to. And then there's me who does this for a month and a half and then sits on my ass for the rest of the year.
Just riding those gains for 9 months.
I do festivals all throughout the year, obviously, but it's just like, it's a weekend, and then I come home and I sit down on the couch.
Right.
don't do anything for the rest of the week.
And the thing was, roughly a month in advance, I started doing a fitness video game to help, because it is, for me, it has been.
Sure, yeah, some health gamification.
In years where I... am doing regular workouts.
May I ask what you're doing? Because I've tried doing gamification of health stuff before, and it just never takes.
So, since I have a Nintendo Switch, I play Ring Fit.
Okay.
Which is different from a lot of other fitness video games that I've played, in that I can choose how much to do, and the equipment that they provide, it gives me a lot of different options for what exercises to do. And because if I do several levels in a row, several quests in a row, I will be physically wrung out by that.
Mm-hmm.
It is a lot of jogging. It is a lot of squats. It is a lot of arm strength training and planking and crunches and all of that stuff, and it is varied is the nice thing, but it is it is nice that it mixes things up. So it scratches that itch that I have for needing different things, and I found it easier to build a habit of doing, you know, 5 to 10 minutes worth of exercise quests, and then having the stats from it and sending the stats to an accountability buddy.
Okay.
in order to build that habit.
Sure.
And so, but I was, I only got onto that like a month in advance. And mm-hmm. I realized that I would be feeling a lot better right now if I had done it sooner.
Sure, yeah.
But I'd also be feeling a lot worse right now if I hadn't done it at all.
Yeah.
So it's, yeah. I would like to be less of that current model that you and I share.
I mean, I literally have jokes in my show about my physique, so you know, sure, I figure sure. If I lose weight, you know, then I have to rewrite a show, and who wants that?
Yeah, that's also very
so difficult. Yeah, I've got to keep that up.
But there's that and I during the fest season I do not do that as arduously.
Well,
as,
sure, you've got as fest to, as yeah. your yeah fest is my fitness regime.
Right. I do not know. I stopped weighing myself.
As you should.
Because I don't want to know.
Yeah. It's not about weight.
Yeah. It's not even necessarily about how I feel, mm-hmm. really, honestly. If I'm going to feel like shit tomorrow, I want to earn it.
Mm-hmm.
And feeling like I'm sore from doing exercise is a lot more rewarding than feeling like I'm sore from not doing anything.
Sure.
So there's that. And I'm hoping that at some point I will feel better, but there's no promise.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. But this Sunday was definitely one of those things where future James is paying off the student loans for entertainment.
Yeah.
James. But we got to see K. Cole,
yeah.
also, which mm-hmm. was very exciting.
Yep, K. Cole also came to my show.
That's wonderful. Yeah, and I was hoping that I would get to catch up with K. Cole and Fam. Family, while I was out and about doing street comedy and doing the mm-hmm. the show at 5:30, but I also understand, especially if you're there as an entire family,
mm-hmm.
That or just there with a child, even one person with one child with them,
mm-hmm.
there's you can't plan that. In the same way.
Yeah. No, yeah. I felt really bad because I, you know, was doing my hat pass.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, hey, it's me. And I was like, hi, it's good to see you, but right. I have to go
I
now.
Ended up having the same kind of thing because I was about to strike up a conversation.
I was a solo act. I like, yeah. like with other acts on the stage, like if one person mm-hmm. sees somebody and wants to like chat with them for a while, the rest of the group can like clear the stage and cover for him and stuff like that. With me, it's just me. Like, mm-hmm. the next act can't go on until my shit's off the stage.
Right.
And the
right.
only person clearing the stage is me.
I had functionally the same experience.
And so I was just like, I would love to stay and chat, but I have to do
this. We were watching
fencing
for a match. And then I was like, oh, I was gonna, I have to go and help.
Yeah,
because they need people to get people out of coats and masks and gloves.
And I know that K. Cole understands that, but I still felt bad. I was just like, I'm sorry. I would love to stay in chat, but I just have to do this.
Yeah.
So that is the unfortunate part of being a solo act is everything is my responsibility.
So
there's no shared. there's no spreading it around. There's no, you know, compromise. It's me.
But all things considered, it was a wonderful weekend.
Absolutely, yeah. I concur with that.
Yeah.
I had a lot of ups and downs emotionally this weekend. Huh. Like I had some emotional highs and some emotional lows.
Hmm.
I came the closest I ever have to firing an audience.
Oh,
this weekend on Sunday, my second show on Sunday. My second show on Sunday is always my weakest show because that's right around 12:30 when people are hungry, they're getting food and stuff like that. So it's my lightest audience always anyway.
Yeah.
And when you don't have as many people in the audience, it's harder because you're just
you're
working just as hard for not as many people, and you're not going to make as much money. And
well, and they also, they're a lot, they, smaller audiences tend, in most circumstances,
it's more intimate, and they feel like that they're more part of the show.
There's that.
And there was a lot of kids in this audience.
Oh, no.
And so, like, I'm in the middle of a thing, and kids are shouting, "What's the longest thing you've ever swallowed before?" And it's like, are you going to, like, tap your kid on the shoulder and say, "Hey, buddy, shut up," or you're just gonna let this kid keep yelling? All right, this is
cool.
So I'm gonna parent your child because you're not
right.
And you know, that just that sort of thing. It was just like, it was a smaller group. It was a Sunday, so I'm already, you know, tired from a week. You know, got these kids shouting out at me. The parents aren't giving a shit. And I was already like, I had just had a fight with my wife backstage. And so, like, I was fucking up my script, and like, I was already feeling down, and the kids are shouting shit out at me, and I just stumbling over my lines, 'cause now I'm off my game. And it was just, I was just so fucking close to just walking off the stage and saying, "Fuck you all." It was a really bad, bad, bad situation. Jeez. You know? But I fucking gritted my teeth and I got through it, 'cause I'm a fucking professional.
Yeah.
And then I got off stage and swore a lot. You know, and then my wife and I had a chat, and it was one of those dumb arguments
that's
not actually about anything important, but you're just both hot and tired and grumpy, and you just start sniping at each other.
There was a moment where I fought with somebody that I'd been dating for a few years. We were getting ready to go to work together, and we were in the shower and just kind of sniping at each other. And we both realized at the exact same time that what we had was a massive hangover with a caffeine headache.
Oh.
Because we had gone through about a half pallet of a discontinued energy drink called Chinese Rocket Fuel. Do not recommend. It tastes like gunpowder. And energy drink, and we both realized that we had gone through a shitload of energy drinks the day before, that we were both still mildly hungover from all the shit that we'd mixed with the energy drinks the day before, and that we had very little sleep and all of that shit. And we both just turned to each other and said, "Oh, Jesus, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
I don't know, it's the caffeine simultaneously."
And that's what this was. This was just one of those dumb arguments because we're both tired and cranky. But it was enough to throw me off my game and then have everything snowball.
Sure.
So it was just this really low, low moment, you know. And then, like, you know, like I said, afterwards, you know, we apologized to each other backstage and you know, kind of shook that off and got. And my next show, my 1:30, is another, you know, good crowd show, because people have at that point eaten, you know, and are back for more and stuff like that. So, you know, I did my next show and it was fucking great, you know, and I finished out the weekend.
Yeah.
I just had, like, the whole weekend, it was that same kind of roller coaster of emotions where something weird would happen and would kind of, like, affect me, and then the next thing would be amazing. Like I was fucking nominated for an award this year.
That's amazing.
You know?
And deserved.
Like, you know, I had had a really fantastic Saturday.
Yeah.
And then I woke up on Sunday not feeling it at all. Like, I woke up on Sunday and I almost just fucking rolled over in bed and stayed in bed, because I was just like, I am not here for this right now. And then get to Cast Call and find out I'd been nominated for an award. And it's just like, well, fucking cool. You know?
That is very cool.
And then, you know, you go do my first show. And then have a fight with my wife and everything goes to shit. And then I do later, the next show is fucking amazing. It was just that the whole weekend kind of did that thing. And it was, it was rough on me, very rough emotionally.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's when you do this sort of thing where, you know, especially when you're, you know, in a relationship with somebody who also does it, when you're doing this long-term, you know, thing where you're in this emotionally charged thing for a month and a half, like, it takes its toll on you emotionally.
It does. This is one of the many reasons that I have told myself that I never want to start a relationship or
end a relationship during Fest.
If at all possible.
Yeah, no. Fest relationships are a terrible idea.
Yes.
Don't do it. By the way, I met my wife at Fest and started dating her at Fest. I had told myself never to fucking
have a success story.
I told myself never to fucking do that, and then I fucking ended up
sometimes
doing it.
It's the exceptions that you make.
Yeah.
The good ones. But life has taught me different lessons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, it has most. I am the exception, not the rule. Anyway, should we take a break?
I think we better head.
All right, we're going to do that. We're going to get some more drinks in us.
Hell yeah.
I think we need it. We'll be right back.
Ladies and gentlemen, Brandon Penn was kind enough to give us the music for this episode and every episode. You can see what he's up to at brandonpatton.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, but especially you can help us out by rating our show. Check out our merch. You can go to society6.com/AON podcast.
Hey, everybody. You should like us on Facebook, apropos of nothing. You could follow us on Twitter at AON podcast. Or you could join our Steam group at AON podcast. Search for apropos of nothing.
If you guys like what you heard, you can visit us on our website at aonpodcast.com. If you want to talk to us directly, you can send us an email at either Jenna, Salsa, or James at aonpodcast.com, or collectively at feedback@aonpodcast.com.
Jerking off into teacups again, then?
Haven't you been doing that this whole time?
Oh, shit, I'd better get started.
My teacup's half full. What have you been doing? Catch up, dude.
Oh, fuck.
And we're back. I'm Salsa.
I am still James.
Yep.
Jesus Christ.
It's one of those nights.
It definitely is.
Thank goodness it's time for a Fast Five.
Fast Five.
Today's Fast Five comes to us from... not the K one or the other C one.
Ooh.
This one. We have three coals now. This is too much. Too many. I don't know.
So would this be coal B? Because we already have coal A. Would this be coal B?
Colby?
Yeah, Colby.
All right, this is Cheddar.
All right. So all right. Cheddar writes...
No, it would be Jack, wouldn't it?
Yeah,
Colby Jack. This is Colby Jack.
Yeah, Colby Jack.
All right, you're Colby Jack now. I don't know who you are, but you're Colby Jack now. That's what you get for writing into our show.
And what we mean is thank you for writing
into
our show.
Thank you for writing
into our show. Please, keep doing it. Oh, Jesus.
So, Cole, not the K1 or the other C1, this one. So this is Colby Jack.
Yeah.
Opening thoughts. Why? What were you thinking?
Yeah. All right.
Oh. Okay. I'm looking at the... okay. Why? What were you thinking?
Oh.
Yeah. Question number one. Ass or boob?
Huh.
I'm going to go with donkey or blue-footed booby.
I mean, okay, so that's an option. I was thinking, like, at a party, if you... would you rather have someone pull you aside and tell you that your friend is making an ass out of themselves?
Uh-huh.
Or would you rather have somebody go, like, oh, yeah, I met your friend at that party. God, what a boob that guy is.
What's the difference?
Well, so I feel like an ass is more... obnoxious.
Okay.
And
whereas Boob is
irritating,
just dumb.
We're
vapid and uninteresting.
Kind of. I mean, that's more of like a bore, but like a Boob would be somebody like sort of hapless. Homer Simpson is a Boob.
Okay. Okay. I'm gonna go blue-footed booby.
Sure. I would say I
donkeys are annoying and they smell bad and I don't like them.
I would much rather hear that one of my friends is sort of a hapless idiot than that they are a harmful idiot.
Okay. So
I would say boob.
Boob for different reasons, but we got there in the end.
Two different boobs. Which
well,
is
you need
completely
a pair.
Normal.
You need
yeah,
a pair.
You
yeah.
do.
All right. Question number two. Edge or Doc?
Wow. All right.
I really enjoy... In theory, I love...
As you're starting this sentence several times, I'm also replaying the options in my head, and it's making it a lot better. You're okay, so
again, why?
Edge
what were you
or
thinking?
Doc... So, I really
enjoy. Oh, I enjoy.
In theory.
Yeah. No, in theory, I enjoy, like, a lake cabin.
Okay. Yeah.
I love that being, like, it's the water, and, like, I love that in theory.
Okay.
But every single time I've been to a lake cabin.
Sure.
Or a dockside or a houseboat or something like that.
Yeah.
It is always less comfortable and smells worse and is slightly dingier and dirtier and rotten.
Just because of the damp?
The damp, and like it makes things rot and like it. I'm always just like, yeah, I'm going to spend some time at the lake. And then you get to the lake and you're just like, the lake is beautiful, but the dock is kind of starting to rot and it's got this like gunk around it. And it's, you know, you got this little like lake scum and stuff like that. Or you go to the seaside and you're just like, it's lovely. You smell the ocean breeze and you're just like, oh, this is lovely. And the ocean's beautiful. And you go swimming and everything's good. But then when you actually like stop and look, there's like... The ocean scum.
Oh,
like
yeah.
The sea foam with all the trash in it.
Yeah.
And like the bird shit.
Bottles
like,
washing on shore under the boardwalk.
Yeah, it's like whenever I go to the ocean or the lake or something like that, like my expectation is it's going to be this beautiful idyllic thing. And whenever I'm there and I actually look, it's never as good as I wish it was.
Huh.
So I'm going to go edge.
I'm trying to think. Edge of the forest?
Sure, I don't know.
Okay.
I couldn't figure out what edge was, and so I just... But I have... And again, I love that sort of thing, you know, going to Greece and going to the ocean side and stuff like that, and going to the ocean in Ireland and stuff like that. Going swimming in the ocean in Ireland was the best fucking time. But then you get out of the water and you've got like seaweed like scum on the rocks at the edge of the ocean, and you're just like, hey, this is kind of less awesome than I kind of would. Like, movies would have you believe this is wonderful, and then the reality is just kind of is a little dingier, and the salt sea, like the salty sea air, just kind of gets in everything, and everything just kind of gets this crust on it over time, and
it does.
Yeah, and it's just like if I was super rich, and I could afford to hire people to clean that sort of thing up and maintain things and replace things and keep things nice, spick and span, I'd be just like, yeah, fucking seaside all the time, because now it's perfect. But that's
right.
I feel it's like
not realistic.
No, it's not realistic at all.
Yeah,
and I wish I didn't have that reaction to it.
Sure,
but whenever
sure.
I am at the seaside, as yeah. much as I enjoy it, there's always that little part of my brain going, but this is actually kind
of
gross.
Many of the places where you and I diverge in opinion are where you have found yourself unable to enjoy things.
Yeah.
Other people, certain yeah. foods.
I was in fucking Thessaloniki, Greece on the fucking quay, and it was gorgeous, and I was having the time of my life, and then I looked down, and there was just this sea foam full of bits of plastic and shit. And I was just like, I can't.
That's a little bit of a downer anyway.
It really yeah. is. It's kind of just kind of depressing, and you're just yeah. like, I wish this was better.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. I guess I would say edge. With the idea that it's the edge of the forest. I love forests.
Absolutely. 100%.
I like lakes. I do. I like boating, but forest.
Alright. Question number 3.
I like that it was a little song there for a moment.
What?
Just the way that you ramped into that question number 3. It was sort of a...
I missed it entirely.
It was a little tune.
Okay,
yeah,
I'll take your word for it. Yeah. Question number 3. In or out? In, obviously. I mean, come on.
Well, yeah, you can't come on if you're in.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I mean... Mm-hmm. I guess it depends on how hard you do it, but...
Oh!
Yeah, I don't.
And we've got some.
No. Nobody wants to think more deeply about this.
No,
joke.
I just suddenly thought about Mallrats.
Oh right, yeah, that is that lives rent free in my brain as well. Oh God. So. So out, are we agreed?
As much as yeah. I fucking hate it, he makes a good point.
He does.
No, I'm...
Oh, no.
Look, even if it's a bad idea, I'm in.
Well, yeah.
Like, I yeah. 9 times out of 10, it'll be like, this is stupid. I'm in.
Yeah.
Because at least I'll get a good story out of it.
Something that you and I have discussed many times, in fact, that you and several people have discussed many times, the difference between you and other people who do stupid things, is that other people will jump into those stupid things where you will do those stupid things with a great deal of consideration and mm-hmm. planning.
I'll still fucking do it, though.
Yes, you will. But,
mm-hmm.
I
live for experiences.
Me too.
I don't. Yeah. I am not the kind of guy who is going to come home with a ton of souvenirs. But yeah. I am the kind of guy who's going to go.
I forget. To
hey,
take
this,
pictures.
This. I don't take pictures at all. Hardly ever. But I am the guy who's like, yeah, this like shop owner who we got to talking to has invited us over for dinner with his, you know, grandma's. Are we in? It's like, fuck yes, I'm in.
Yeah, why not?
Are you fucking kidding me? Well, he might be a rapist and he might kill us in a back alley and rob us. And it's like, that'll be a fucking great story. Are you kidding?
Oh, wow. I did once go to pick up an arcade machine from someone who is now a very dear friend as someone's backup in case there was sex murder.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I guess.
I'm in.
I guess in.
I'm in. All right. Question number 4. Bottom or top?
I mean, the obvious one is bunk, but...
bunk?
In which case, top bunk.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
There's something exhilarating about it.
I like elevation.
Yeah.
Top is fun. I like the toppings on a pizza more than the crust.
Oh.
Yeah,
kind of same. Like, it doesn't really matter what's getting it to my mouth.
Mm-hmm. Whether I feel like that's almost too obvious, though. Like,
yeah. I think the bunk one is also.
The bunk one is a good one. I think maybe not 10 years. I think 20 years ago I would have said top bunk. I'm more of a bottom bunk now.
Huh.
Top bunks, you got to climb up into that. And I don't want to do that in the morning. Like, when I'm waking up in the morning.
Yeah.
Until I have some coffee in me, I'm fucking shit. And I don't want to have to do some, like,
so
rock climbing.
The RV has three beds. One of them is the queen size bed at the back.
Yeah. One of them is the table that turns into
drops
a bed.
Down and, turns
and one
into
of them is above the driver's
twin.
Seat.
And one of them is the overcab.
Yep. Pretty standard.
The overcab mattress is quite plush.
Mm.
Which means that there is very little clearance between the surface of the bed.
You can't sit up.
And no, you can't. I could, because of the breadth of my body, I may not even be able to sufficiently roll onto my side very easily. So,
without turning it into some weird, like, sketch.
Right. And so, without becoming one of those, like, Goofy or Donald short cartoons.
See,
there's not a lot of opportunity.
Maybe this is dating me, but I was thinking Carol Burnett. But
also, I was just watching the Carol Burnett show a moment ago.
So
oh, God, it's so good. So, the, like, very literally over the break.
Yeah.
So, there's that.
So goddamn
but
good.
But the,
Those guys can do just that awkward physical comedy for so long. Drag it out for so long. Oh, it's so good.
Well, and the difference between their awkward physical comedy and a lot of other places where they have that is that theirs gets better as they keep doing it.
Yeah, it just
versus just making the joke longer.
Yeah, it is that.
Yeah.
Oh, goddamn. There's one of the tenets of comedy is is that, you know, it's funny and then it becomes not funny.
Mm-hmm.
But if you can push through not funny long enough,
yeah,
it becomes funny again.
It's the Family Guy Peter knocking his shin thing.
And they are able to do it consistently.
Yeah.
Which is not easy.
Carol Burnett. Yeah, exactly. So the it's one of the things that I fucking hate about watching Tim and Eric is that it's awkward comedy, it's physical comedy.
I can't stand Tim and Eric.
It is the joke has already gone on too long 5 seconds into it, honestly. But then they do it for another 30 seconds to a minute.
And it never gets good again.
No, it doesn't.
Whereas,
I have friends who love it.
But Tim Conway.
Yes. Yeah, I was just watching Tim Conway goes to the world's worst hotel.
Yeah, and Tim Conway just gets worse and worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. And it's the best goddamn thing.
Yes.
His dentist sketch as he becomes numb all over the place is amazing. And when he's the doddering, you know, servant of, you know, Scarlett O'Hara, and he gets just... Tim Conway and Buster Keaton are my two comedy icons.
That makes a great deal of sense. They're both extraordinary. The top bunk thing would turn
this,
into ideally a Carol Burnett sketch, but at worst, Tim and Eric sketch. So the thing that that is also not fantastic about it is that. It is also the leverage against the shocks and struts is very different up there. And being the weight that I am, just walking around on the floor level of the RV, the RV shifts under me. But
I mean, well, yeah.
Up there, it would. I'd be swinging that thing back and forth, just breathing, basically. just, you know, trying to exist. Like, I would move my leg and I'd feel the whole RV rock.
Yeah.
Which is really disquieting when mm-hmm. you're not on a boat. So,
yeah, no, I, again, in the morning, top bunk, I would roll with disadvantage to get out of bed. Because you got to climb down, and it'd just be like, I could do that, or I could just not.
I'm actually, just because of floor space considerations, I'm planning out a cabin. And when I build a cabin, I'm probably going to do a loft, which is the cabin version of a top bunk.
Yeah.
And I...
But as long as it stairs to the loft, that's fine.
It might be, or it might be just like a bunk bed, loft bed.
Sure.
That has like mm-hmm. a desk area under it.
Like, we stayed at a cabin when we were at the Camp du Nord.
Yeah.
We stayed at a cabin that had like a loft bed, but there was a stairway along the wall.
Sure, sure.
So you climbed up the stairs up to the loft area.
Which is fine, but also not... Not my favorite.
Hey, see, that's my speed.
For me, the difference is
stairs in the morning before coffee.
I can swing my legs out over a ladder.
I'm not gonna climb out of a fucking bed and do a ladder before I've had coffee. God no.
But for me, having to crouch at the top of the stairs, if it's like actually a loft bed that is close to the ceiling, having to crouch at the top of the stairs, for the top 4 steps or something like that.
Peak.
I want a ladder. Plus, I want the extra foot room. If there is enough room...
It was at the peak, so you could stand up there.
Wow.
Anyway.
So, I guess I would say top.
Top, and I'm going bottom. Okay. Question.
Well, listeners, that answers that question.
Uh-huh. Question number 5.
Pork? 5, 5, 5.
God damn it, we almost got that. Pork?
Oh, man.
Or perv? I mean, I feel like pork could be any number of things, but perv? Pervasive? Perv. What could it be other than the obvious? Or is it the obvious? Maybe this is a double blind, and it is the obvious.
Maybe it is.
I like pork.
I do. I like pork.
Whenever I go to Moscow on the Hill, I get one dish.
Okay.
Yeah. And that is the Tsar's medallions.
Hmm.
Because it is pork tenderloin that has been flattened and then baked in this mushroom sauce with cheese on it. And it is just the fucking
best. My mouth watered immediately.
It's the fucking best.
Yeah.
I love pork. I grew up on a pig farm.
Sure.
I love pork sausage, bacon, ham, bring on pork chops. I love it.
Sure.
I love pork.
It's a magic animal. Yeah.
I love pork. Yummy, yummy, yummy. Perv. I'm going to say pork because I just can't figure out what perv might be.
Huh.
And also, even if it is the obvious, I like having sex more than I do perving on things.
Agreed. I would rather watch Meatballs than Revenge of the Nerds, which has a lot of, like, pervy...
What is Meatballs again?
Maybe I'm thinking of the wrong...
No, you might be, but I know the name, but I can't remember what that is.
I'm trying to think of Meatballs, because Meatballs, I think I am thinking of the wrong movie.
What was Meatballs?
Meatballs was the camp movie, I think, with Bill Murray, and I'm trying to think what the fat camp movie was from the... Like a decade later.
Yeah, Meatballs was the 79 Canadian comedy with Bill Murray. Yep.
Yeah, so not that.
Okay.
There was Heavyweights. That's what I'm thinking of. Heavyweights. Where they have the camp full of kids who are being sent there by their parents to lose weight.
Yep.
And
I never saw it, so...
honestly, it's kind of great.
I believe. I just never got around to that one.
But I would much rather...
Revenge of the Nerds has a lot going for it, but it also has some stuff that has not aged well.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, I feel like there's about 10 minutes in the middle that if you just fast forward over, you're better off.
Minimum. 10 minutes minimum.
And I feel like the rest of it is, the rest of it's fun. Mm-hmm. Definitely an 80s movie, but still fun.
Yeah.
As long as you just kind of skip that part. And then don't question why she's suddenly with him.
I definitely enjoyed Revenge of the Nerds 2, at least the TV edit of Revenge of the Nerds 2, way more, where they had the... They were staying in the Hotel Coral Essex, and then in order to get people to show up for a concert, they burned out part of the sign so that it said hot oral sex.
Well, there was also
fantastic.
Porky's.
Porky's is definitely one of those pervy summer movies. Yeah. But is that one pork or perv?
I don't know.
I mean, I think it's more perv than pork.
It's interesting. Like, there's a certain fine line.
Yeah.
That a lot of those 80s movies, like, accidentally fell on one side or the other.
Yeah.
You know, like, obviously, Revenge of the Nerds went too far.
Yes.
Whereas, like, Wet Hot American Summer.
Well, Wet Hot American Summer was, like, in the early 2000s, I think.
Was it really? I thought it was 90s.
I think it was designed to look like, I think, like a early 90s, late 80s
okay,
movie.
Well, maybe it fooled me then, because I thought it was an early 90s.
Oh, because they recently did the reunion, and it was
interesting.
Paul Rudd.
Yeah, I know. It was Poehler, you know, Sarah's or not. Yeah.
And a bunch of other. I feel like it was either very late 90s or early 2000s. Maybe I'm wrong.
It's a 2001 movie.
Well, holy shit.
I really honestly thought it was an
it's
early
got
90s
the aesthetic.
Movie. God damn, they fooled
I
me.
Love
they
that
got
movie,
me.
Though.
They got me.
Given the choice between watching,
I like pork.
All right. Well, all right. Good. I'm gonna say Heavyweights.
All right.
Yeah, pork.
Pork. All right. So, Colby Jack. Sorry, that's just who you are now. If you hate it, by the way,
if we give you
a nickname and you absolutely hate it, please let us know, and we will absolutely
we
stop
will just
calling
quietly
you that.
Discontinue it.
Yeah. But in the meantime, why? What were you thinking? Question number one: ass or boob? Mm-hmm. To calm yourselves, do you prefer a mammal or a flighted companion to interact with?
Okay.
So I got
you
it.
You did call it.
Donkey or blue-footed booby.
I am very soothed by creatures, but usually dogs or cats. Mammal.
I mean, between a donkey or a booby, I would say the booby, but a mammal or a flighted creature...
Yeah,
I would definitely go with, like, a cat or a dog or something like that. So I'm going to have to go mammal.
Yeah. Well, and if snake was an option, I'd choose snake, but it isn't. So mammal.
All right. Question number two, edge or doc? Mm-hmm. For quiet contemplation.
Ah.
Do you prefer to sit at the edge of a lake or out in the lake at the end of a long dock?
I think you called this one too.
Yeah, this is definitely.
I would say at the edge of the lake.
No, I would,
because then you can have you can have a fire.
I like to be on the dock.
Mm.
I like if I'm going to be at the edge of
That fire is going to be a lot more short lived.
I mean, depends on how you do it. I know how to do it right.
Yes.
Some of the. This was years ago, but.
In the year 2000.
My ex-girlfriend, her family had a cabin mm-hmm. up north on a lake, mm-hmm. and it was one of those nights where it was like, it was a warm night, mm-hmm. and there was no bugs, and there was no wind, and it was just kind of calm, and in the distance, mm-hmm. in the distance, there was like the makings of a thunderstorm, where you could like see lightning in the distance.
You can smell the ozone,
but it wasn't like windy and gusty where you were, and I waded out to chest deep in the water, and I was eating fire because I had my fire stuff with me, because I always had my fire stuff in my trunk. So I was out in the lake at like roughly, you know, between belly button and tits in the water, eating fire, breathing fireballs with like that energy in the air. And it was amazing.
That does sound fucking great.
But if like if I'm going to be at the lake, I want to be in the lake.
Huh.
You know what I mean? Like if I'm going to sit there and contemplate life and just kind of have a quiet moment, I'm going to get way into it.
I do like swimming in the lake. I do. I like kayaking, and I like just existing in and around water. I am definitely a water creature. But I like making a bonfire, and I like cooking mm-hmm. around the bonfire and having friends sit and
absolutely
tell stories and things like
and
that.
I mean, this
at
is
the edge of the lake is amazing.
This is also a bit of a you know, because it says for quiet contemplation, and I don't fucking do that. But at the edge of the lake, you're still on the ground.
You're still on land.
You're still on land. And in your perimeter, your periphery, you're still on land.
Yeah. One of the reasons that I enjoy
kayaking is if you're out on the dock.
Yeah.
Even in the periphery, even on the edge of your vision is water.
Yeah.
You are completely, as far as your brain is concerned, you're surrounded. There is no, I'm still grounded on land. Yeah, I'm still on land. That. You're out in it.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm convinced. I'll say doc.
Cool. Question number three, in or out? When spending time with a partner, do you prefer the formality of dining in, or do you prefer the intimacy of a picnic?
Of eating out.
I hate picnics dining in. I don't like eating outside.
Huh?
If I go to a restaurant and they're like, would you like to eat on the terrace? I'm like, no.
And you're like,
you have a restaurant that I want to be in.
I came to a restaurant. I expect to be in the restaurant.
Yeah.
Well, you and we are allergic to the sun.
We have a patio over here. And I'm like, yes, you have a perfectly good dining room over there.
Yeah. Picnics, which one of those two is air conditioned?
Yeah. Right. Well, I mean, even in the winter. Well, I mean, nobody's on a patio in the winter, I guess. But
I've done that once or twice.
Even let's say it's 72 degrees outside, where even I can't complain that it's too hot. Even then, it's just like, we've got a patio outside, and I'm like, yes, but inside is not outside.
Yes, but have you considered that the apex of our civilization is buildings?
Yes.
Functionally.
Let me sit inside.
Yeah.
Please. I don't like... picnics are the same. I don't enjoy that. I want to sit at a table and eat inside.
Something that I weirdly get a lot of enjoyment from is driving to a takeout restaurant or a fast food place mm-hmm. in the drive-thru, and then I'm sitting in the car and eating.
I prefer eating in my car over eating outside.
Yeah. But, like, sitting as a date night,
mm-hmm.
Jax and I have, on multiple occasions, gone shopping for something or something, mm-hmm. you know, whatever it is, whatever else we're doing. And then we go and we get a meal and we just sit in the car and we listen to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, or we listen to the Magnus Archives.
I've got a boner already. Like, come on.
Yeah. Me too. High fives. All right.
Wait, don't tell me. Yeah.
It's great. But yeah, just listening to a radio show together in the car, windows down. I would say that's kind of a picnic. So I would say picnic. Plus, you know, I've sat outside with them and at like sociable cider works.
Sure. No, I think I would call that a picnic too.
Yeah, yeah.
Even though you're in your car, but I think I would classify that as a picnic.
I would say the latter.
Okay. Yeah, no, I don't want to eat outside.
Yeah.
That's where shit gets into my food.
What? Don't shit in your food.
No, please don't shit in my food. What? Outside is where leaves and insects and dust and shit is.
Yeah?
I don't want that in my food.
And yet he works fast.
I work fast, and guess what? I don't eat all day.
That's true. Yeah. Well,
I literally eat nothing between cannons.
Yeah, there's
that. Except steel and...
Sometime I want to find a rest stop with two, like, brass cannons or something like that, and then I think we as a podcast should go and have, like, a full 7-course fucking meal.
So I can eat between cannons. So I can
eat between cannons.
Oh, that's really good. I mean, we just need to go to, like, some place that has an old-timey ship or something.
Or Fort Snelling or something.
Yeah, so I can... Yeah. Oh, we should, as a podcast, go to Fort Snelling anyway.
Sure.
But then, yeah, we can eat between cannons.
Yeah. Ideally, if they have cannons there, which I expect they may. So, there's that. It's a date.
God damn it. Yeah, no, I mean, we have so many of these that we've never actually done.
What a wonderful problem. So,
I'm going in. All right, yep. So, question number 4, bottom or top? For maximizing PJ comfort, do you prefer wearing the PJ bottoms or a longer PJ top?
I know that you have said you prefer PJ top. That you've got like a, not a caftan, but like a...
I would love to have a nightgown.
Oh, okay.
I would absolutely love to have a nightgown. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Nightgown sounds amazing.
Someone just gifted me an absolutely beautiful garment from Tunisia that is like a very long shirt.
Yeah, I think I know what you're talking about. Nice.
It's beautiful. I would love to wear it out at Fest, but I can't sword fight in it, and it's too fancy for telling jokes.
Sure, yeah.
So if I can find a way to comfortably belt it up a little bit so that I can move in it.
I'd love to see it at the booth. I'd love to see that.
Yeah, it's phenomenal.
First of all, I sleep naked. If I am wearing PJs... I'm just wearing the PJ bottoms.
Yeah. If I... the thing is, I very regularly wear PJs. And I think some part of it for me is the anxiety over emergencies. I don't want to have to deal with the emergency and also get dressed. But then the other part of it is just that parts of me stick to other parts of me.
I mean, I just wouldn't get dressed.
I know.
I have zero problems with that.
I'm aware.
More than people wish to have seen my junk.
Yes.
Because I just don't care.
But for me, the other reason is that I don't like the feeling. I have a similar thing to you and sunscreen.
It's a sensory thing?
Parts of my body sticking to other parts of my body.
Yeah.
Even if it's just like my inner elbow sticking to the skin on my ribs.
Mm-hmm. I know what you're talking about.
My inner thighs stick together when it's a warm night.
Mm-hmm.
And especially like when it comes to junk, notoriously sticks to legs and things.
Mm-hmm.
So I fucking hate it.
You have the pajama bottoms on so you could put between different things. I 100% get that. Yeah. I just use the top sheet for that purpose.
Huh. Oh.
So, that having been said, like when it gets to be winter, then I wear pajamas because it's cold. But well, I could wear a nightshirt as opposed to pajamas, I would in a heartbeat.
I feel like someone could do a massive favor for you by getting you like a big flannel nightgown.
I want one.
Yeah.
So bad.
Seems right.
The whole night before Christmas, you know, wife in her kerchief and I in my cap, like a cap and a nightgown.
Yeah.
Like the Scrooge.
Right.
Like nightgown and cap.
I want
one of those so bad.
I have a series.
I've just never gotten around to getting one. I should do that. What am I doing with my life? I just had a good weekend at Fest. I'm going to buy a nightgown.
Yeah.
All right. Do the next one while I buy a nightgown.
And the last one was Dick and Balls or.
I suppose I've got the thing, don't I? Well, if I forget to buy a nightgown because of this, I'm going to come after you.
Try to do it in a nightgown.
Question number five. Pork or perv?
All right.
On a night in.
All right.
Would you prefer a single large meal?
Okay.
Or.
Porking out?
Pervasive snacks to graze when the mood strikes.
Wow, you were correct. Jeez, you had these nailed down. I gotta say, one of my favorite meals in is fondue. Like oil fondue.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, ideally, the trifecta.
Of oil, cheese, and chocolate?
Yes.
Sure. If you have a wealth of fondue pots...
And I do.
And you do. But yeah, it's been a long-standing family tradition to do oil fondue with shrimp, steak, and I've thrown now...
Chicken?
Not as much.
Oh, really?
Because that one's weirdly difficult to make sure that it's done to a satisfaction that is
really?
Also tasty.
Interesting.
Strangely... Because subtle differences in size and surface area make an enormous difference with chicken. Where with steak, it's a lot easier to get it roughly the correct temperature internally.
I don't think I've ever had a problem with it. But anyway.
And the shrimp is pink already, so you could eat it without cooking it. It's just especially delicious after you've fried it. Essentially.
Mm-hmm. And then occasionally throw a vegetable in there and fry it up.
Some
bell peppers.
Yellow and green squash.
I've not done that.
Oh, fuck, it's so good.
I need to give that a try. Oh, what I usually do is put some of the bell peppers in and
bell
fry them a little bit.
Bell peppers would be relatively tasty as well.
Yep.
I'll take chunks of bread and put that in there too.
Mm-hmm.
Just because that's...
And then dip it in the cheese.
Incredible. But yeah, I haven't done a ton of cheese fondue. I've had chocolate fondue, and honestly, it's not my favorite.
Really?
Yeah, it's fine. I've also been places with chocolate fountains, and it's chocolate in a fountain.
Hmm.
And there's an enormous amount of work that goes into it, and I like chocolate, but I am definitely a meat and potatoes over...
Okay.
That's
fair. That just surprised me a little bit.
Huh. Yeah. If it was like dark chocolate, maybe?
I mean, when we do chocolate fondue, we also put a lot of booze into it.
That's what I'm missing. Oh. Okay, sudden realization. Fair enough.
Yeah.
All right.
Like, we do like an oil, and mm-hmm. then we usually do like a beer cheese. Like a chocolate with some like rum
beer
in it.
Cheese is so good.
Usually rum. With the chocolate fondue.
My mouth is watering. I have the words beer cheese.
Like my wife and I have my wife and I have two fondue pots and her sister has a fondue pot.
Oh, amazing.
And then like we have other friends that have fondue pots. So when we do like a party, like a fondue party, we have plenty to go around. So like I said, we'll usually do
that's So I think this is much more of a pervasive food than it is a
is fondue a
out.
Pervasive food? I think it might be.
Because it's always, it's small samples of things.
But it's
and,
also,
and it
we
takes a little time to cook.
It does take time to cook, but it's not so much. It is still a dinner time. I think pervasive food is more like hors d'oeuvres, where you're kind of sitting around like and snacks happen.
The church supper where everybody brings a jello salad and you have, and, you know, a hot dish.
I think
or
like
two
a charcuterie pick. Board is
that,
more of a...
Oh, I love that.
I mean,
but
I
also,
definitely love that.
But also, I kind of... I like playing board games. And I like sitting and drinking. But I also like your pie day party, and that's a pervasive food.
That so
pie-vasive.
A usual pie-vasive. Night for me
yes.
and my wife,
sure,
would be we have dinner.
Oh, never mind. Yeah,
no, we're married. We don't do that anymore. No, in all seriousness, we. Have dinner, and then, you know, like a couple hours later, we put the kids to bed. Mm-hmm. And then, like, after the kids are in bed, we'll usually do some just like snacking. Like, my wife goes to like the grocery store that has like a cheese section, and we'll get the little like samples of cheese. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Like, that are just like.
Yeah,
a
the,
tiny
the
little
ends and bits. Yeah,
yeah. Exactly. Just the little bits that are like a $5 chunk
yeah,
of cheese.
Yeah, we do that too.
You know, and she'll get like five of those.
Right.
You know, and like they're like $5 each. You know, and but she'll get a bunch of different ones, and then like a pack of Triscuits for me, and I'll like munch on those, and she'll have like you know tortilla chips with top the tater.
Oh my god.
Because the Top the Tater this Fiesta is mix excellent. is so great. And we'll just kind of, like, watch TV and nibble on things.
Well,
and
that just sounds ideal.
And it's just a really great snack. And I
well, I know what I want to do tomorrow.
I feel like that's more of a pervasive... Like, on a night in, that's what we do.
Yeah, fair enough.
Is we kind of... Once the kids are in bed, we have our little snacky bits. I have my cheese and crackers, and she has her chips and dip, and we, you know, we'll watch, you know, Tasting History with Max Miller or
I think something. I like that. I do. But I also really like playing video games and board games, and it's hard to do that for me while snacking.
No, it's not.
You and I have different focus problems.
I'm sure. But gaming is one of the most snack-filled times that I have.
For real?
I snack more when I'm gaming than any other time.
Wild.
Huh. Whenever I hit a loading screen or a something, it's just like or if I'm doing, you know, tabletop gaming, when we're doing, you know, Dungeons and Dragons.
That was a weird sound that my yawn made.
When we're done Dungeons and Dragons, I snack more in a half hour than I do most weeks.
Having sat down for snacks at a Dungeons and Dragons thing and at board games and that kind of thing, I find that I usually grab like a bowl or a plate of snacks and then I sit down and then I eat it and then I'm kind of good.
Wow.
Like I might just have like pretzels or something for a little bit.
That is fascinating.
But
when we're playing Dungeons and Dragons, we go all fucking out. Mm-hmm. We have cheese balls. We have chocolate. We have nuts and raisins. We have six different kinds of gummies. We have pizza.
Oh,
we have sodas.
Okay.
We have everything.
You know what? I take it back because I will eat gummy sharks and peach rings and circus peanuts and that kind of stuff. I don't stop. And it doesn't matter if I'm gaming. And I will make opportunities. I will pause to grab a fistful of gummy bears and shove them into my slavering maw.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When I'm playing video games,
yeah.
Any moment that there is a cutscene going on loading screen or anything like that,
sure.
I am eating pistachios.
I do love pistachios.
I have a big fucking Costco-sized bag of pistachios in my office right now.
Yeah.
And if I'm playing a video game and there's any free moment, I'm shelling pistachios and eating them.
Yeah. I mean, I know that I did that. mostly as a teenager, I did a lot of that. I do a lot less of that now. And maybe it's just a lack of specific foods.
Mm. Interesting.
I do love shelling and eating pistachios, though.
Pistachios are very good.
I would say...
And it's never a snack that... it's never food that I need.
Yeah.
But it's always just like... That's kind of the thing we do is after the kids go to bed, if my wife and I are going to sit down on the couch together and watch, a movie together, sure. or Rachel Maxey or something like that online, on YouTube, then she's usually going to have her chips and dip and I'm usually going to have my cheese and crackers.
That's so nice. Huh.
So I'm going to go pervasive.
I'm going to go pork.
Okay. Closing thoughts? You guys are naughty. I approve.
Hooray.
If you would like to send in a Fast Five, and you do, go to aonpodcast.com, click on Submit a Fast Five, and fill out the form. It's that easy. A child could do it, and probably has at some point. Does anybody have a shout-out? And by anybody, I mean, hey, James, do you have a shout-out?
Shout out to Kyle. It was absolutely phenomenal to have him back this week. It was super good to be working with him again. And then also shout out to him, though, last week while he was away, he did a Fringe show in another state, and he won a fucking award doing that Fringe show.
Wow.
And congratulations to him.
Yeah, well, good on him.
He did a fantastic job with his show, and I'm absolutely chuffed. Super proud of him. Artistry.
Ta-da! Goodness gracious, I am going to give my shout-out to the weather.
And then we need to cut to a short folk medley. And then come back and all of our problems are solved.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, seriously, the weather has been fucking amazing.
It truly has.
This past weekend. Oh, it looks like this weekend might be another great weekend. From what I've saw. Yeah, obviously, knock on wood. It can change at a time. But yeah, it looks really good so far. I just need it to be good for four more weekends. And then... it'll be, yeah.
Oh.
What?
It just, there is something really great about it. It just has to be good for four more weekends, and then, yeah. I don't know. Nice.
Fair. All right, yeah, no, the weather's been good. I'm happy it exists.
Yeah, having an atmosphere is good.
Let's hear it for seasons, everyone.
I'm sure I wouldn't miss it if it wasn't here. I probably wouldn't even know that it was gone.
That got dark. moving on. Does anybody have anything to plug?
Kyle and I have a 5:30 show on Saturdays.
Mm-hmm.
If you're headed out to the Renaissance Festival, you are incredibly welcome to come and see what stupidity we've made.
Mm-hmm. And it only costs
an amount of money.
No, honestly, how much is Last Call?
I think it's like $30, but then you get four beers and food and a show.
Mm-hmm.
And it's
what do you get? Like a cheese tray,
chicken wings, grapes, and I think maybe one or two other things.
Yeah, so like
it's like a kind of a big platter.
Yeah, no, I
but especially the fucking chicken wings.
Yeah, no, you get chicken wings and cheese and four beer pours. Plus a bunch of...
Four different beer pours.
Plus you get Gus, you get, you know, Johnny Phoenix, you get Zilch the Tory Seller, you get all that
Rose
shit.
Rose Daughters.
Rose, yeah, you get all of that for $30. Yes. Seriously.
Yeah, yeah.
Fucking do it. Jesus Christ.
We're having so much fun with it now.
If I could do it, I would probably do it, but I can't.
Yeah, I get that.
I am going to say that we're getting close enough, so I'll mention it. After the Minnesota Renaissance Festival closes its doors for the year, Casimir will be heading east and slightly south.
Some people call that southeast.
No, but it's like east-southeast.
Some people aren't you.
It's east-southeast.
A lot of people are you.
It's mostly east. It's slightly south. Let's seriously though. To
so east, southeast.
Yes, east, southeast. As the crow flies. Casimir will be heading to Baraboo, Wisconsin, to the site of Circus World.
Rad.
Where a gathering of rogues and ruffians will be going on. That will be October, I want to say 14th and 15th, and I'm going to want to say that because that is the dates of the event.
Stories coming together.
Indeed.
Making sense.
So the 14th and 15th of October, Casimir will be performing at the Hippodrome of Circus World. And seriously, that is a great fucking venue to see a show.
I want to see it so badly.
Well, then go.
I might.
Do it. Do it. Do it.
I may.
Do it. Bring one of your dates and do it.
Aw, that's such a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
It's an outdoor venue, so I could bring all of them.
Mm-hmm. Well, there you go. Anyway, you should do that, because honestly, Rogues and Ruffians is a fun little festival. It does not have the stress of Minnesota's Renaissance Festival.
Yeah.
Minnesota's Renaissance Festival is so huge and so big, and so there's so much going on all the fucking time.
That was one of the things I loved about Newborn also.
Yeah, it has that same, like, it's just kind of low-key. Like, you hang out, you do some shopping, you catch some shows, and then you just kind of chill and take it all in. Like, you don't have to worry all the insanity going on around you all the time. It's much more chill. I really, really... I love doing this festival because it is a way for me to kind of, like, ramp down from Minnesota. Yeah.
That makes so much
and
sense.
And instead of going cold turkey after Minnesota, just kind of have that, like, one last hurrah where it's just like, yeah, I'm doing my thing, but it's low stress, and I can just kind of like, yeah. So, anyway, yeah, do that. Plus, you get to go to Baraboo, which is just south of the Wisconsin Dells, and maybe go to a water park or something like that. I mean, yeah, it's...
House on the Rock.
We can go to House on the Rock, yeah, it's really good. Anyway, does anybody have any final thoughts?
Bye, bye, love you, bye, bye, bye.
In that case, thank you so very much to everybody who listens to this podcast. Thank you so much to Colby Jack for sending in that Fast Five. or whoever you are. I don't know who they are. And if I do know who you are and just don't realize who you are, I apologize deeply, but you're Colby Jack now.
Yes.
On behalf of myself and the absent Jenna, may she rest in peace. Eat the fucking cake.
I want to blame you, and normally I do blame you, but I...
Just go ahead.
I'm pretty sure this is actually my fault.
Oh, shit.
We've got it on tape.
Oh,